Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
let him play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and welcome once again to Behind the Steel Curtain presents the Steelers Hangover. Once again, my friends, my name is Brian Anthony Davis from Behind the Steel Curtain. With me, as always, is my good friend, also from Behind the Steel Curtain, Anthony DeFeo, as we talk about everything Steelers in the post-game extravaganza called The Hangover. Give me about 24 hours to go ahead and digest the game. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers did not play yesterday, but members of the Pittsburgh Steelers were in action in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Pro Bowl. And something very notable happened with a stat line of one catch for 16 yards. Juju Smith-Schuster limped off of the field. All reports right now are saying that he should be okay, but that makes this person think that really have we come to a point where the Pro Bowl is just not even worth it anymore for what could happen? So that's my question to you, Steeler Nation. And Tony, that's my question to you, my friend. Good evening, buddy.
Hey, Brian. Happy Monday. Hope you had a good weekend. As far as the Pro Bowl, if the question was, have we come to the end? I think so, yes. I didn't even watch it yesterday. So for me, it ended last year when I saw them not tackling in the game.
You know what? I did not watch it, but when Mike Evans is getting interceptions and Alvin Kamara is playing defense, and, it's fun. But I go all the way back to I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I will say 1989, where after the 88 season, where one of the top rookie running backs was a guy named John Stevens for the New England Patriots. And that was a time when we did not hate the New England Patriots. They were still wearing those really cool red, white, and blue jerseys, the red jerseys with that white helmet with the Patriot hiking the ball. That's when they were a team that they were kind of lovable losers at that point. They were nothing great. They played in one Super Bowl, got completely destroyed by the Chicago Bears a few years earlier. But he was at the Pro Bowl, and he wasn't even in the game. They were playing – the rookies were playing and organized by the NFL beach football flag game, and he tore up his knee and just ruined his career. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think he ever came back. It was so severe of a knee injury. John Stevens was his name, S-T-E-P-H-E-N-S. Go ahead and look him up if you have nothing better to do. For my money yesterday, I was happier just watching the Royal Rumble last night. I would much rather watch that than the game, which the AFC did prevail, actually, 26-7, if anybody does care. I guess, since this is the hangover, Tony, I guess maybe we should go over stats from that game. What do you think?
Sure. I know one stat. Juju had one catch for 16 yards. The other ones I'm not so sure about.
Let's have some fun with this.
Okay.
So the I'll let you guess. Who was the leading rusher for the AFC?
Leading rusher for the AFC, James Conner.
James Conner had 6 carries for 11 yards and a 1.8 average. The leading rusher was Tyreek Hill, who had 2 carries for 24 yards, and I guess they were probably reverses. But if I'm looking at this, 18 total carries. The lone touchdown that came on the ground was from Anthony Sherman. He's a fullback, isn't he?
I believe so, yes. So,
but Sherman was 4 for 11. I mean, the not very good on that end. Let's go ahead over to this is so fun. So, and I say that very facetiously. But let's go ahead and see who the leading rusher in the NFC was. And I'll give you a hint. It was not Todd Gurley. He did not play in the game.
I'm going to go with the Bears running back, Cohen. I'll just take a stab in the dark.
Tariq Cohen. Actually, no, a star. Was 3 carries for 33 yards, no TDs. Zeke Elliott. Barkley was 2 for 10. Your boy Cohen, 1 carry, 2 yards. Wow.
Oh, well.
The
I didn't
leading
my
receiver.
Team, so.
Did you, I mean, I didn't even check to see if there was a FanDuel yesterday for the Pro Bowl. I actually should have. I bet you there was, and I bet you guys from BTSC, I bet you Jeff and Dave Schofield probably played. receiving. The leading receiver, I'm not going to make you guess. This is just futile. The leading receiver for the NFC was Davante Adams. 2 catches, 41 yards. Great. George Kittle was 5 for 39. So I guess he would be your leading receiver on the, these stats are terrible. I mean, let's see. The leading receiver was actually. Okay, there. Am I getting this right? Is it Anthony Sherman who is the. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, it rings a bell.
He's a fullback, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And he's the leading receiver, too?
He was not, but he was pretty darn close. Keenan Allen was actually the, I guess you could say Keenan Allen was the leading receiver for the AFC, but Anthony Sherman had a heck of a game as a fullback. In fact, I don't know, he did not win the Pro Bowl MVP award, which they're actually saying that he should have. And you know what, this is how prepared I am. I don't even know who won the Pro Bowl. I believe it was Pat Mahomes, actually, quite possibly. A Chief won it, and they're saying, yep, Patrick Mahomes was named the offensive MVP. He wasn't even that amazing, Tony. Back to Anthony Sherman, he had 3 receptions for 92 yards. Keenan Allen had 4 receptions for 95 yards. You throw in the fact that he had a touchdown and he had over 100 total yards. I mean, I would actually make him the MVP. Cause look at Mahomes' numbers. He was 7 for 14, 156, and a touchdown. Come on. Let's give the full – I'm a fullback guy, Tony. So fact
hey,
or
I mean,
fiction? Go ahead.
I mean, it's you know, if the fullback can't get a bone in the Pro Bowl, when's the fullback ever going to get a bone? So you're right.
There you go. This leads to our first factor fiction of the night. Fullback and tight end are the toughest, coolest positions in the NFL.
The toughest and coolest? Definitely
toughest
fact.
Slash coolest.
Yeah, definitely fact.
I agree. I mean, for my money, I love tight ends and I love fullbacks. And it sounds like an oxymoron when you think of fullback and tight end, but that sounds like a really good party back in college, actually. But
mm-hmm.
All right, somebody giggle at that, please. That was really bad.
That was good.
You know,
that was good.
I mean, I am a huge fullback fan, and so let's look at. Let's just go off the rails here. We are going to talk about Juju's scare, but let's talk about fullbacks real quick. Pittsburgh Steelers fullbacks, true or false, the best fullback in Pittsburgh Steelers history is none other Dan Kreider. Fact or fiction? Now, and we can't – look, let's not go ahead into the whole Franco and let's say in the last 30 years, because Franco was officially listed as a fullback, and you can get in the weeds here. Franco was a feature back. Back then, I believe his position was fullback, and that was so let's go from the 90s on. Dan Kreider, fact or fiction, best Steeler fullback?
He was without a doubt. He was without a doubt the best fullback, or at least the most popular. I mean, he was the bus's bus driver. So yeah, Dan Kreider brings back fond memories.
Not completely. So actually, you know who was really considered the bus driver? Was Tim Lester.
Yeah, Tim Lester.
But
from
I'm not
from
even
St. Louis,
say,
yeah.
I'm not even going to say Tim Lester. When he came over, he had a couple good years in Pittsburgh, but he was a really good back, I mean, fullback for the Steelers. For my money, now, I could bring up two, and this could be a great debate. I love Dan Kreider. Dan Kreider is one of my favorites. I thought John Kuhn, he was better for Green Bay. I thought John Whitman was good. But for my money, it is a toss-up. The easy money would be to say Merrill Hodge, but I'm going to go with the man who replaced Merrill Hodge. And he was only with the Steelers for a couple of years, but he was amazing. And I love my favorite unheralded Steelers at fullback was none other than, can you guess it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
John L. Williams.
John L. Williams. No, he was great for the Seahawks. But when he came over for Pittsburgh, I mean, we're talking 94, 95, because Hodge left after the 93 season. 94, 95, he was a madman for that team. He was really good as a fullback for Barry Foster, for Eric Pegram, for Van Morris. I'm a big fan of – Well, we really got off the rails. You can tell it's the off season, but it's still fun.
It's fun.
I will say fiction on Dan Kreider, but Dan Kreider is I would probably for recent generations would probably consider him the best. Rosie Mix is a pretty darn good fullback. In fact,
yeah.
I think our listeners, you and I, have argued that we want to see more sets with Rosie Mix lined up as a fullback. And you and I have been doing this together for 2 years now. And one of my favorite memories discussing with you was Rosie Mix. And he had some good moments, but what would you say was Rosie's best moment of the past couple of years?
I forget what game it was. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh no, no, I know exactly which one I enjoyed. It was from 2017. He scored a touchdown. I think it was a pass, and he fell on the guy that tried to tackle him, and he hurt the guy. And to me, that was my favorite.
That,
that
was against the
moment.
Ravens.
Ravens.
I believe
okay,
that was
there you
against
go,
the
yeah.
Ravens. That was a great moment, but that's not what I'm going for.
Okay.
For me, the best Rosie Nix moment was, I believe it was week 6 of 2017, when they had to bring somebody in to protect Le'Veon Bell from Vontaze Burfict. And on the, one of the very first plays, he just went after and knocked them over. And
oh, yeah.
Oh, number 55, he was neutralized the rest of the game. Rosie Nix had him so frustrated in that game, Tony. It was just a thing of legend. And I just absolutely loved it. And from that point forward, I'm like, this is my guy, number 45. I would wear a 45 jersey. In fact, I think I need to get on that. My most obscure jersey right now is a Vance McDonald, I guess. But I think I need to get a Rosie Nix. And I think, you know what, Tony? I could wear a Rosie Nix jersey into that stadium. And what do you think the over-under would be? Let's say five. Over-under. How many people would ask me where I got it? Or where
I'd
they
say,
could get it?
I'd say over five, seven or eight, because he is probably the coolest player on the team. He's one of the coolest players on the team for sure. He's just a superstar as far as what Pittsburgh Steelers fans want in their fullbacks.
What era would have Rosie Nix been best in? Now we're talking Rosie Nix. I would probably – I mean, he's great in this era, but I just don't think they're using him. I think if he would have played – in the 90s, they could have been a better rushing team than they already were, or the early 2000s.
Actually, I think in the late 80s with Noel, because you mentioned Franco, and even Merrill Hodge had his best years when he was the feature back. And when Noel was here, the feature back was the fullback. So I think he might have had his best years under Noel, you know, because when Kyler came along, the fullbacks turned into more of a blocking back. So maybe the 80s.
Fact or fiction, Rosie Nix was not a great fullback at Kent State.
Geez. That's a fact. Right,
that's
State,
a fact. You know why? He was a linebacker at Kent State.
There you go. I learned something new every
Not
day.
A lot of people realize that. And they put him on special teams. They made him a fullback. I think that's amazing. And the guy has pretty good hands, too. I mean, I really wish he would have just got that extra couple of inches against New Orleans before he celebrated. But I can't bust on him. I think he's a fantastic player. But let's go ahead and talk more about the Pro Bowl and more about the Steelers' involvement in the Pro Bowl. At this point, you know, we had two All-Star games over the weekend in the Steel City. So you're looking at a hockey game, and you're looking at a football game. Now, both are dangerous. Well, we feel so much better when Sidney Crosby is, and he could get hurt in an All-Star game, but we feel so much better about him playing than your stars playing in a meaningless tackle football game. So which one do you, I'm not even going to fact or fiction this, which one is more dangerous do you think, though? I you know what, I might be off base here, Tony. What's more dangerous, a hockey All-Star game?
Well, it has to be football because there are just so many ways that a player can get rolled into, or it's such a weird sport where you have 22 guys, or 21 if you don't count the quarterback, just converging on every play, and anything can happen at any time. And I think that's why you have such a lack of tackling now in Pro Bowl. I think it's definitely, it's always going to be football, because even the surface can take a player out without anybody even hitting him.
Very interesting. Yeah, I guess I would go ahead and agree with that. So let's talk about Juju. You know, he was fine, is what they're saying. They're saying, you know, good news on his injury, that it's not that big of a deal whatsoever. Jeff Hartman, in his article today, he mentioned that, you know, he left the game with a leg injury, but he's reportedly okay. I mean, seriously, at this point, with the Antonio Brown drama, Juju, fact or fiction, is probably the most important option on offense other than Ben Roethlisberger. So is that fact or fiction?
Oh, that's a fact. I mean, without Antonio, I mean, what did Juju have, 100 catches, I think? I know he had over 1,000 yards. He definitely made the Pro Bowl. So he's definitely the number one receiver if AB doesn't come back next year. So and without Le'Veon Bell, he's absolutely the number one target, number one option on offense. So, yeah, he's definitely the most important.
So with that being said, you know, is it worth it for these guys to even go to that game anymore? What is anybody getting out of this game? The ratings aren't good. You know, really at this point, Tony, if you ask me, they should go down there for skills competitions and autograph sessions and, you know, give them a handsome bonus for making it, but that's about it. I mean, I have a buddy that he used to live in Hawaii for a little bit, and he would go to the game. He went the first year, couldn't wait to go. The next couple years, he just went to FanFest and didn't even go to the game. He said that the game was just brutal to watch. Yeah. I mean, we watch it on – I watch it almost every year on TV. I did not put it on yesterday. And like I said, I watched the Royal Rumble, which is at this point less scripted than the AFC and NFC championship games. Uh-huh. But, I'm just thinking that – you know, you can lose your entire 2019 season if Juju goes down. You just confirmed it. I mean, it's just – that is – remember we had Sean Taylor. It was a Buffalo punter. I don't know if it was Brian Moorman. This was about shortly before he was – Sean Taylor was tragically killed. But he just completely ramped up this punter for the, I believe it was for the Bills at the time. And he missed a good bit of the season. But if you go back, and I'm going to actually say 2005, 2006. If I'm not mistaken, and maybe we could help confirm this, Drew Brees was injured in a Pro Bowl when he was towards the end of his career with San Diego. So that's something that, if I'm not mistaken, and I think that was also something that paved the way for Philip Rivers to definitely be the main man, because it's funny, Philip Rivers was drafted in 2004 for that team. And if I'm not mistaken, Brees had a Pro Bowl season in 05 or 06. Do you recall any of that, Tony?
Yeah, I remember. First of all, I remember said that Brees kind of got the short end of the stick in San Diego, because he had such a good last two or three years after they traded, after they drafted Rivers, and then they wound up, I don't know if they released him or they just let him walk as a free agent, and then he obviously went to New Orleans and the rest is history. Yeah, I remember definitely something happening around that time that wasn't good for.
It was a 360-degree tear of his labrum and a 50% tear of his rotator cuff.
Wow.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that was in the Pro Bowl. I'm not this is something I'm trying to – I got to be honest. This was just something that popped in my head when we were talking about you know, players getting hurt. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken – I believe it was in the Pro Bowl, but that's something we can go ahead and take a look at. But he had a remarkable recovery, and the rest is history with what he did with New Orleans, giving them their first ever Super Bowl. Fact or fiction, New Orleans Saint of all time is Drew Brees.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact. I mean, he made them a legit, consistent contender for the first time in history. I mean, they had some good years before he arrived, but I mean, they've been, you know, they've had some down years recently, but they've basically been a legit contender ever since. He made them legit. He made them a non-joke. You know, there's no more ain'ts since Drew Brees came along. So he's the most important.
That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to ask you another fact of fiction right now. We have the Super Bowl coming up, and there's been a lot of noise. In fact, a couple of Saints season ticket holders have tried to sue the league because of the penalty and how there should be a do-over in this game. The league came out and said it would cost over $100 million just to do a do-over of the Super Bowl, and it would be—I mean, of the NFC Championship game—and it would be virtually impossible. But your fiction, even though what's the league admitted that it was an egregious error, the that penalty does not take the shine off of the Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. Was that fact or fiction?
That's a fact. I mean, those kind of things happen all the time, and how quickly people forget about all the calls that go against every team every year, you know. So, I mean, that's just going to happen. They're not going to do the game over. That's just ridiculous. If you want me to stop watching football, that's one good way. Yeah. So that's definitely a fact.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I forgot about that already.
I agree with that, but for me, it actually takes the shine off it a little bit. I mean, yeah, that was a chance for Drew Brees to get his second Super Bowl. We could have seen a great, as far as I'm concerned. Now Sean McVay, I mean, he's the flavor. I mean, he is the new breed of coaches, and he's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I wanted to go ahead and see Sean Payton and Bill Belichick go up against each other. I thought that would have been absolutely incredible. Brees and Brady, I mean, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas in this game. This is the game I wanted to see. And for me, if I was a Saints fan, I would be in mourning to this day. I mean, there's a lot of things to be mourning on, but I'm talking sports mourning. And it was just what a terrible error. So, what we are doing on this show, it's the Steelers Hangover, brought to you by BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all of your Pittsburgh Steelers needs and more. 10 articles every day. One of my favorite articles is my favorite reading is when I see the byline of Anthony DeFeo. That's something really fun to go ahead and read. All of his are very insightful, and they're going to be funny. There's going to be some sarcasm, so if you don't get sarcasm, definitely stay out of the comment section. I'll tell you that, because you're not going to get this at all. But great stuff as always, Tony. I do enjoy that. But
well, thank you
on
very
the hangover,
much.
We talk every. You're welcome. On The Hangover, we talk everything Steelers and luck. If we don't talk about Antonio Brown, we're not doing our jobs. And I know everybody's tired of hearing about Antonio Brown, but recent reports surrounding Antonio Brown suggest he has spoken with the Steelers. This is something that Simon Schefter had on our website, and that hit today as well at 7:42 a.m. And it's some very interesting reading, and basically what they're saying, Ian Rappaport is saying that the Steelers have not closed the door on Brown returning. However, they are exploring a trade. Johnny, for me, you've got to explore a trade. I mean, at this point, you got to see what's out there. You don't have to take a trade. But if somebody throws, I mean, Jalen Ramsey at me, Jalen Ramsey. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely. I mean,
if
I mean,
somebody
they
what if they threw a Patrick Peterson and a second round pick in 2019 at you? You're gonna jump at it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You couldn't pass that up at this point. I mean, you know, Patrick Peterson is a proven commodity, and AB, you don't know what the future is gonna hold for him.
You know what? The man said he wanted to be traded. You don't have to trade him, bottom line. But see what you can get for him. And don't take a trade. You don't have to take a trade. He will suit up. He's not going to sit out because they know the team does not have to trade. I don't think he is going to sit out. He has 3 years left on his contract. That would just be incredibly stupid. But, I mean, we've seen stupider things from athletes and organizations, too, as well. But I don't see that happening. With this news and the report that Mike Tomlin, this came out, I think, Thursday or Friday, that Mike Tomlin had said that when his production, meaning Antonio Brown's production, then they would definitely get rid of him because then it would not be worth the distraction, as I paraphrase. So with throwing those two items out, what are you thinking right now? And where are you putting on the odds that Antonio Brown is a Pittsburgh Steeler next year?
I'm going to say probably a 40% chance that he comes back at this point. But it's like what Marquise Pouncey said on one day last week. You know, one phone call can change this whole thing, and the two sides can come back together again. And ultimately, that might be what's best for everybody if Antonio Brown makes a change, which is hard to see envision at this point. But if he changes his ways and comes back, and it's Antonio Brown, he's always been on the field, but is a little more humble off the field. So. But at this point, I'm still going to say 40% chance that he comes back.
You know, I'm going to actually say, I'm going to go with 57%. Let's go with one of the great numbers in Pittsburgh with Heinz 57. We'll go 57. Now, for me, Tony, humility doesn't matter to me. I've been at odds with friends right now, just saying, and I've been going back and forth. In fact, I actually feel a little wishy-washy because I don't want to see this guy go. But I want the players to be accountable for their actions. So that's where I am very conflicted. You know, I hate the fact that they had to say, well, with his productions that when he doesn't produce as well, he's not worth it anymore, and we'll just put up with it. But if you're, say, Artie Burns, you do this once, you're gone. I mean, a guy like Artie Burns or lesser players like Darius Heyward-Bey, who is a very good guy, but lesser players got to walk a tightrope where this guy can could bring the circus in the locker room, and it doesn't matter. So that's where my conflict is. But with this report, I'm kind of thinking that this is just going to be drama that will be put behind, and he will be wearing number 84 in black and gold. So we'll say there's, I think there's a 57% chance, and that's a lot higher than 40. So we'll see how this plays out. It's going to be very interesting as well. Before we get ready to go, we need to talk. We talked briefly about the Super Bowl. We talked briefly about the fact that you don't think the luster's been taken off. I do. Fact or fiction, the NFL wants the Patriots to win the Super Bowl.
I'm going to say fiction. I think they want the Patriots to be a factor every year, which, you know, mission accomplished. But I think it's I don't think they want them to win. I think they want people to root for or against them. So I definitely think they want them to be in the running every year. So I'll say that.
Of course they want them to be in the running. I agree with that. I think it's a fact. I think they want them to win the Super Bowl this year. And I think they want them to go away. I think they want to win the sixth Super Bowl and quit. I think that's what they're hoping for. Because I kind of get the feeling that Roger Goodell kind of has his tail between his legs when it comes to the Patriots. I'll never forget 2 years ago on that podium after the 28-3, which you hear about all the time, 28-3. But when Robert Kraft just basically snubbed Goodell, but said, hey, no one believes in us. It's us against the world, which is a whole bunch of crap. But this was all because of Deflategate and all that stuff. But it just kind of makes me think that kind of think they get leeway because of the way that was handled and everything that happened there. And that's just, that's just me that loves controversy and loves conspiracy. I love conspiracy theories, and I think about them all the time. I still think there's a Patriots conspiracy theory, but it's not because they're in bed with them. It's because they want to get out of bed with them. They want to just get rid of these guys, and they're hoping that they win. If Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are atop the podium and the Patriots win, this will be their last year in the NFL, fact or fiction?
Fiction, because if they tie the Steelers, if they tie for most Super Bowl wins, what makes you think they're not going to want to go for seven next year? I mean, then you have then you're the king for who knows how many years. So I think they're going to come back and go for it again.
I'm 100% with you on that one. I think they would come back for seven. Now, I thought Jake Glazer was interesting, where he says, "Look, I know nothing, but I've got a gut feeling that they will quit if they win." I don't see it. I see them getting seven and getting out of Dodge then. Look, if they win, they're coming back. If they lose, they're definitely coming back. What about Gronk? Win or lose,
this is
his last game.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much done. That's a fact. He's physically not the same player he was even 2 years ago. So I think he's suffered one too many injuries.
Fact or fiction, Rob Gronkowski will be the MVP of the Pro Bowl.
I'm going to go with fiction. I think it's going to be number 12.
It's going to be number 12, but dude, I'm telling you, mark it down. He's going to have a phenomenal game. There's something about this game that I think he's going to go out on top just with a blockbuster game. And I can see it happening on Sunday. One more fact or fiction before we wrap this whole thing up. Fact or fiction. Tony Romo in the broadcast booth makes this game so much more watchable.
Oh, that's a fact. Tony Romo is the man. I can't believe he's the guy that we made fun of for how many years as a football player. He's just a god now. So that's a fact.
He is. Where do you rank him all time already? Now,
He's in the top five.
I think you've got to put him in the top five because it's not like number of seasons that you need. It's just quality of work. And the quality of
right.
work is just phenomenal with this guy. I'll listen to him over anybody except for I'm still a Collinsworth guy. I just love listening to Michaels and Collinsworth. But for me, my A1, Collinsworth, and Romo's right behind them right now. I mean, as far as in that story, I mean, most people would disagree with the Collinsworth thing as being the absolute best. I think he's there, but he's hearing footsteps from Tony Romo. I mean, wow, this guy is just fun to listen to. And I love his excitement. I love his passion for it. And it was so cool to watch in the Kansas City, New England game, watching him predict plays. And no one was in my living room, but I did text to somebody right at the end of the game. I'm like, watch Burkhead. Hand off to Burkhead. He's just going to waltz right in. And that's exactly what happened. And the game's over. I mean, I'm not saying I'm Tony Romo-esque, but Tony was doing the whole game. I mean, it was just a joy to watch. So we have established a lot of things. We've established that we love Rosie Nix. We've established that don't think the Pro Bowl is even worth it for Steelers to play in anymore. We established that we still have no clue what Antonio Brown is going to do. And we established that even though we hate the Patriots, we still think they're going to win. Is that fact or fiction?
No, that's fact. I predict another 3-point victory.
Yeah, I do too. I really think that's going to happen. So it's going to be an interesting game to watch as always. I don't care who's in it. I watch the Super Bowl. That's my national holiday, Tony. I love it more than
Agree.
Anything. Well, not more than my family and a good Ron Jeremy film. But I mean, maybe not the Ron Jeremy film, but. No, I mean, I just really I enjoyed the Super Bowl. It is so much better when the Steelers are in it, but I just sitting down to watch that game, it's where I belong. That's my night, and I know it drives my family crazy because they're not into it like I am. But when the Steelers are in it, it's at the Davis house. It is a full-on party. And it's a full-on party every week. We call it Steelers Central. And we have basically the equivalent of a Super Bowl party almost every home afternoon game. Not home, every afternoon game of the regular season. And if they are in the postseason, it doesn't matter when it's on, it's hosted right here. So one of these days you need to make the road trip, Tony. But with
I'll
that being
it.
Said, thanks again for another night. And enjoy the Super Bowl. We've got to say this. Go Rams. I think we're contractually obligated as Steeler Nation members to go ahead and say go Rams. Fact or fiction, let's just throw one more out there. Nobody in Steeler Nation is rooting for the Patriots. Fact or fiction.
That is a absolute fact. I don't think anybody in the country is.
Unless you're in Louisiana or New England, those states up there.
That's right.
You're Louisiana fans are definitely rooting for the Patriots. I would have to think that they are. But with that being said, thanks again, Tony. We will talk to you next week when we will wrap up our we'll have a hangover from the Super Bowl, even though our team's not in it, and we will find ways to go ahead and mesh the Steelers into that entire scenario like we always do. For Tony Defeo, my name is Brian Anthony Davis. We're behind the steel curtain. Have a great week, my friends. Enjoy the Super Bowl. And you have just been, once again, hungover. Good night, everybody.